Yeah, that's very nice of you.
So without further ado, I'll kick off. Killing people is easy. Before I was dead, I lived a lot differently than now. Before achieving this post-mortem status, I thought there was only one life. The tax-paying, shelling out cash, sleeping, eating, earning a living, and dying kind. To pay, one earned. To eat, one earned. To sleep safely, one earned. To marry or procreate or recreate, one earned. To count the moments before the working day ended, one earned. Time seemed to be, well, money. Thankfully, I was wrong. Thankfully, once you die, there's no going back. Time is motion, a kind of silent running. But where are you going? Time, no matter what you do, is a waiting between heartbeats. And they stop. They always do. Like virginity, life is something one should dispose of quickly. I pay fewer taxes now, and I live more frugally. I have more time to be, because I am not. Speaking of obligations, it was my mother who said once you only get one shot at living before the hammer falls and you get a job. She was standing by my doorway to my room when she said that she was troubled at my life going nowhere, worried at my living at home, isolated, and reaching 30 years of age. I knew she wanted me out of the house, but that isn't important. I was going anyway. We never really got along, so I got going. We were polite to each other, civil, but strangers. She was hinting she wanted me to go. I went. Then I met Aaron. Everything went well. We were lovers. Then, following a kind of inevitable entropy, things went wrong. My mind failed. I lost my connection with things, with her. I became depressed. I killed myself. It was easy. Killing people is easy. We are fragile. Killing oneself is very easy. There's too much drama about dying. Too many, alas, poor Yoricks. Tick, tock, tick. After I died, things went wrong. I survived death and came back intact. Here I am. Talk. It was a spiritual impossibility. I had a lot of time on my hands. Free times. Time I didn't pay for. I threw away my calendar. Then I wrote this. Or more correctly, I rewrote what I had written in other lives. I realized that the cycle of death and life had happened before. That the Julian year was a Roman conquest. I began welding the fragment of other lives by these words. Maybe it was the transmigration of souls. If you buy into that kind of dubious dogma, I dismiss nothing as impossible, including the resurrection of the dead, the existence of Valhalla, and that Elvis is definitely still walking in Memphis. Continuing with the cheerful and uplifting theme, my last day on Earth. There was this moment before I left this world. I saw you there in a field of sunflowers, yellowed and golden like a Van Gogh trip. You were a daddy to me. You held my hand and we talked about Joyce Carol Oates and Muhammad and the death of kings. In the calm of a Sunday afternoon segue between this and that, we drank wine and ate lobster, and the bard sonnets made us laugh, and by four in the day, the showers washed the fields, and I said, Daddy, Daddy, I love you, Daddy. How the sun kissed us as we wept, and after the rain washed the world anew, so lovely and perfect, and I was free. Nirvana. This is for Kurt. Nirvana. I love my new age Kurt Cobain with his emotionally damaged poetry. His shotgun wounds are affirmations. His emotional scars are memories. Mr. Hyde reflects on his multiple personality disorder. Dear Jekyll, I'm not the man you might imagine. Not the doctor, the remedy, nor the disease. My fashionable suppressions, my secret life, the way I hide within these words I write, my world within, it's really cool. My world within, it kills the real. So, deep in the velvet crush of self-deceit, I have been pleasant and sensitive and dubiously sweet about our rational, insane, modern life, your growing career and fashionable hate, your dark world of culture and financial gain. Jekyll, the adult child, my childlike parents love. Brilliant and successful and deliriously happy. The umbilical cord is his ball and chain. In truth, I know not why I am so vain. You see, I'm talking about myself again. It's because of me I built his death, his Dantesque life of fulfilling dreams. I nursed his cleverness like a newborn verse. I, his action item, was conceived and born. His memo from God I incubated about. Over morning coffee, no fuss, no muss. We are one and all shall be well. Raise a glass, a mirror to love. We'll segue towards our reborn world. No scenes of decimation on the phone. I'll read, collect the mail. I'll dry clean as before. But I know they're wrong. So wrong about it all. I know that light thieves the pall, that hope springs eternal, that our potion feeds bad blood, that in the end, love prevailed. Our marriage still went on, our so-called talk show love, for the beatings they give us makes morale improve. Sunflower. Francois Rabelais paints my black whiter. William Burroughs, beetles on an azure sky. Wolfgang Amadeus, the prince of purple rain. There he rings of Saturn, Mozart of the spheres. A couple of freshly squeezed verses. Sorry. Okay. Night terrors. I don't know if any of you ever had night terrors. It's fucking terrible. Yeah, for want of a better word. Night is this theater parceled in behind curtains, playing beyond these window frames. Night is the groupie, cloying and uncertain, a maudlin gossip betraying other people's games. Night is this symphony of disaster whose acts are pockmarked in chimeras, a lurid review for a cheap sellout shows, a gormenghast oracle of lost early hopes. Night is a Waking Dead 5 a.m. sitcom, a soap opera inertia I cannot shift from, a measure of memories and glass-eyed toys, a moon alien arc light on thin gothic boys. Night's an addict playwright, deranged for a hit, dreaming these dreams from the orchestra pit. She's my Frankenstein stagehand, shifting the scenes, switching on the moon behind these black trees. Night's my dull guest who always stays for dinner. It's the butler's dark hatred of always being the waiter. She's my routine late arrival turned constant companion, with promises of tomorrow that almost seem to happen. The werewolf librarian is wired to the moon. I've wondered if this hunger comes from my true love, if my bloodlust longings will in death be resolved, if my virtuoso killings are sanctioned from above, if my fever dream visions and bookish vestibules divine how the moon and I shall be as one, in the gnarled witty ends of our Algonquin books, and doomed before pilot bohemian looks, in dead arenas of career and frittered down lives, in coiffured laughter therapy and red satin smiles. These are my daylight librarian times. All my life I have lived these lives, as my wolf self's hidden from book borrower's eyes. I am that longing only murder satisfies. With order and precision I lived my lie. I shelve books and wait till the moon arrives. And moon is my lover who makes love bitter. For hers is the arena where the innocents are butchered. And mine are the eyes that will see death forever. And these are my claws that clutch dead letters as the night-like metropolis howls in the emptiness. The Arts Council rejects H.P. Lovecraft's request for funding. I'm the demon god who eats your soul, the cosmic dreamer who dreams you whole. I'm the Lucifer lover who brings the pall, and the cannibal in Gucci and number 9 Chanel. Is it me you fear the most? I'm the lingering horror in everyday worlds. I'm the heart's dark hunger for all dark goals. I'm the oblivion beckoning within your soul, that dawning, yawning nothingness that swallows you whole. Is it me you fear the most? Those demons that sleep in our deepest oublettes are everyday insanities that keep us objective. Apocalypses we long for, yet cannot confess to. Is it me you fear the most? Continuing the tone of positivity, Gone to God. Picture this, last deep space mission. Kyoko Matsumoto, a 90-year-old student in 1933, jumped from the 1,000-foot crater of the volcano Mount Meshara on the island of Ishana in Japan, and started in a bizarre fashion. In the ensuing months, 300 young people did the same thing. In Japan, 1999, 33,048 people killed themselves, the main reasons being either ill health or financial problems. Heinrich von Kleist, a German writer, and Stanislav Ignacy Bikovic, Polish writer, and Arthur Adamov, French poet, death by their own hand. Ian Curtis, born July 1956, lead singer, songwriter, and seminal band Joy Division, hung himself on the eve of Joy Division's first US tour, May 1980, death by success. Cleopatra, Egyptian queen, death by snakebite. Kurt Cobain, American rock star, injected heroin coupled with shooting himself with a shotgun, death by overkill. Ernest Hemingway, American writer and Nobel laureate, severely depressed about his progressive physical illness, he had failed to respond to two series of electroconvulsive treatments, death by shotgun. 35 years later, on July the 1st, 1996, the model and actress Margot Hemingway, granddaughter of Ernest, took an overdose of barbiturates, the fifth in four generations, to end her own lives. More of the same, severe depression, alcoholism, bulimia nervosa, death by inheritance. Hart Crane, American poet, 1899 to 1932, leaped from a steamboat into the Caribbean. He bid his fellow passengers farewell, then jumped overboard. Death by water. Yukio Mishima, Kimikati Hirohoka, Japanese writer, 1970, used a sword to decapitate and disembowel himself. A ritual called seppuku or harakiri, as a protest to the westernization of Japan. This happened in front of an assembly of all of his students. Death by ritual. Some of Mishima's students followed the example. Claudius Drusus Germanica Nero, a Roman emperor, 68 AD, stabbed himself with a sword, his last words being, "Ah, what an artist dies in me." Death by hubris, followed by nemesis. Donny Hathaway, singer, in 1979, jumped from his room on the 15th floor of New York's Essex House Hotel. Death by gravity. Sylvia Plath, born 1932, American poet, died after securing her children from the possibility of being gassed, put a pill in the kitchen oven and lay down on it. Lucius Annaeus Seneca, Roman philosopher, opened his veins. David Foster Wallace, American novelist, 2009, after a long struggle with severe depression, death by hanging in his garage. Socrates, a philosopher who in 399 was required to drink hemlock to end his life after being found guilty of corrupting the youth of Athens. Vincent Wilhelm van Gogh, Belgian painter, who in his entire life only sold only one painting, in 1890 shot himself. In 1954, Johnny Hayes, John Marshall Alexander Jr., died playing Russian roulette. You can leave it at that. It goes on.
I shame I couldn't have cut his own head off.
He didn't.
Did somebody else cut his head off?
I don't think so.
He cut his own head off. Jesus. It's in the film. His friend cuts his head off.
A mother encourages her beloved firstborn to finish her degree in economics and organizational psychology and take that government job. Dear daughter, my daughter, when you get older, when you get colder, you'll forget all these questions. You'll get down to the business of paperclips and politics and schedules to die for. And your team will be godlike and with the devil in the details. And you'll be so happy, a mandarin in a sinecure with a pad in the country, your kids in good schools and your own parking space. Oh mother, my mind is on fire. The forest is singing, ecstatic evergreens raving in the sunset, oak and sycamore, trees with fickle leaves like thin fingers overpowering world souls. They catch golden beams like life's last moment fall. Chorus hymn singing beings called glory echoes from boughs unbidden, like children calling in distances mine, bring joy within unbidden. The muse is my first love, your words I cannot follow. My job is for life, but this poetry is eternal. Opus Dei. Not that feeling. On Sunday last, we cycled out, journeying to Cratlow, talking of sun and trees and silly things. Our legs aching, climbing those hills, leaving the city limits, freewheeling down as the road shot past, watching the swallows swing high. They were banking and swooping as we crossed imaginary highways of the mind, listening to Zeppelin and the Stones and the Grateful Dead. We saw the Shannon River like a great blue mirror, shining in the honey sun. We stopped, stripped, and swam and dived deep, looking for fish and finding nothing, surfacing to intoxicating curlews swirling overhead, calling and calling as we dove and swam ashore to suspicious signets watching us like river spies as we sat tired and wet. So we moved on till sunset in that dead heat, and between the apocalypse and its aftermath came our coffee break. We broke bread and laughed, dropped acid, ate salads and eggs, and we got on credit, the shop owner putting us on the never never. And outside that charitable shop we sat, eating ices as old men smoked and read, wondering what our time would be like. We talked about death as we passed the Pieta, as into Cratlow wood we climbed, on walkabout till night brought its shroud. And Julia wept as the blackbird songs. We were stoned and reborn amid copses and labyrinths, melodious telegrams sent high in the sycamores as multicolored spiders wove haikus in the undergrowth. We surrendered by the evergreens, made love, and night came as our minds unhinged, as the light fled from us and the moon bled black. And bats sang Dante, and the ground opened up, and Lovecraftian things slid between petrified trees. And we prayed and wept as closer they came. They put our hands about our throat and hissed, "Hope is for those who do not know the night. You kill yourselves to build new gods. You kill your gods to make them new." They looked into our eyes and saw the void as landscapes exploded and the wood burned cold. And Jesus came down from a fiery oak tree. He fell into our arms and wept and wept, said his father never loved him, that he couldn't go on, that time was lost, and he longed to forget. And we wept with him and we said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, let our salvation be in this despair, Here, in the heavenly casino, it is written, those who love will suffer everything. What we desire will consume us all. To whom nothing is given, everything is taken. All power to the spirit of the void within us. And this will be with us always, even unto the heat death of the universe. And he kissed us both and left us with our dreams. And the sky lit up and the drop ships came and we watched the world burn. Across earth, air, fire and void, armies of incubi torched kaleidoscopic skies, chanting, nothing, nothing, here is but nothing. Let us kill everything and we shall be God. Let fire eat everything and make the world anew. Let us make the world in the image of truth. And we held each other, and our dreams consumed us. As from a fiery willow came the evil one, looking dressed to kill, talking sincerely about ideals. We are the pure of heart, he said, as he touched us. His fire consumed all we were, our ashes like stars, glimmering in the cradle of creation, atoms mingling with the vestiges from whence we all find source. And thus we were dissolved, an interstellar disappearance, that infinite point the first light struck. In that embrace we awoke to badgers and hedgehogs, to fires and foxes and rabbits, foraging for food. We knew we had dreamed the work of God, lost everything in Cradlow to find our new home. The Signet Committee. After our marriage was lost, we made love in the thunderstorm, bodies awash in the flickering brilliance, our eyes signaling yes in that rolling multiverse, the gravity of our lust in shuddering rooms, alive and alight, there on this small dot, our world tilting and swinging on its axis near Alpha Centauri, this place we found ourselves, loving at the mouth of the darkness, the great gravity well, the silence that surpasses all knowing, breathing and longing and waiting. And I was back there, Earth, Dublin, lingering in Stephen's Green, a hot summer by the ponds and thickets, sitting with you by the sleeping cygnets in the blinding heat, the summer light from a thousand suns, burning the ducks and the seabirds and all the creations that came and went. And the old swans watched us, well, were their exhausted young, and it was so hot that the cygnets stretched out brown, downy wings or a webbed foot, breathing quickly, drinking in the light and the unbearable heat, and their faces buried under feathers, and I watched, and there was no knowledge save the presence of it, and the tourists came and photographed, and they went, and the sleeping cygnets ignored them, and I exhaled, and I came back to the bedroom, and we fell asleep in each other's arms. For the want of something better to do in Buffalo. For the want of something better to do in Buffalo, for the moment, the music and I didn't know the difference. For the moment, the hills and the loss of them, the thundering hooves between us, there was Buffalo and the sheer hills and the music of the thundering aside between the eyes, watching between the eyes in Buffalo, watching the approaching. For the loss of everything but the moment, the sheer thunder. For the loss of everything but the right word. For the right word and the loss of it and everything. For the want of the moment, the memory, the eyes. For the loss of the right word. For the Stargate and the right word. For the loss of everything in Buffalo. For the loss of the child, the thunder and the hills. And the Stargate and the cities below Buffalo, the wounded. For the loss of the child, never sleeping in the thunder, the stars, nothing but the word. For the tears like stars, the stars like tears. For the child in Buffalo. Sigmund Jesus. But for the father, there would be no son. But for the son, no father. I the son, the many in one. father. I, the father, killed the son. My son then sued for murder. His mother and the lawyer's wife. I am his murdered killer. So I seek my dead son down in Hades. I linger in his dreams. I eat his hunger, drink his rancor. His love is death and life to me. He is my song to oblivion. He cries my cry of pain. A great divorce flays our flesh. Our Gethsemane is his fate. My son still dies for love of me, and I still die for him. He is my freedom from identity. His cross, my resurrection. Charles Lindbergh enters the Twilight Zone. 300 miles out over the Atlantic, the mothership took us as the fog came down, gray and snake-like, filling my nostrils, that lingering stench when the ghosts come. And the rain and the gales shook the spirit, the wings of her tiny body stretched out to nothing, her bones a compass to the scimitar curve of the horizon. We flew on and got lost in the noonday of the future, and the engine kept turning and turning, and the plane wept, and the ghosts of dead aviators cried out like lost children. They were the watchers, I saw them all, and deep in the night I held on, for that is what we do on this endless trip. We are this terminal longing, desperate for sunrise or sunray or some fragment of hope, until I couldn't go on, and how the spirit shook as the earth and all she held exploded under the eyes of Orion, and all life caught fire, and the cries of the lost unhinged my mind, with the land boiling as though hell itself had lit a torch, and how our patchwork nations just burned, and all life lost within the birds and the creatures of sea and land and civilizations drowning up those engines of death. And we flew on, and I prayed, and I sang hymns to the void, and she sang with me, and how we waited till the moon rose with her face bright and clear and deathless white, and I wept at this cold beauty, and there was only a sliver of freedom born on a craft like mine. Those dead aviators from space who told me to turn back. Turn back, they said, go back. There's nothing at the end of it all. But we went on in the dark with eternity ticking by, and I watched until we saw land, and I wept for the dreams faded, and then southwards I knew there was an end to it all, this ultimate trip. Tell no one of this, the ghost told me. No one. And after my wheels touched earth, kind of goes with that one. Polar bear for sale. In the infinite loop of horizon, in the cold zoo station of sea, I swim in these dungeons of freedom. I dream of the dark silent deep. Here cold savage souls are not frozen. Here the white light night does not cease. Here icebergs swallow the ocean. Here Babel is drowned in the breeze. Here walks Cochise, Dickinson, Ulysses. Here Jesus tells Agamemnon his dreams. Here universes within this universe signals in the night through the freeze. Okay, here's another weird one. St. Bernadette meets Ludwig Wittgenstein and Roswell in 1947. I cannot credit what you think you know you know. What you know is just within your mind. I cannot counter what you say, you saw, or felt. I cannot disentangle your linguistic binds. My lifelong flight from the prison of cognition unites me with the hubris of your exploration, the evidenced precision of your description of beautiful graves who heal your deep divisions. Yet, what you claim you saw, we cannot speak. The status of your third encounter is so weak. No corpses, no crafts, these cordons of police imply cabals of plague, or the deluded visionary. But these little moments of nirvana always matter. We diehards fall for what diehards stand for. Motherships land to those who long for her, to Misty Bernadettes in Roswell Nowheres. Thank you very much. We'll finish. Ah. Okay. Doris Lessing reflects on her atheism and her mother. Sorry if I don't have the time.
Oh, absolutely perfect.
Okay. There was something about her eyes I could not stand. There was love and there was hate, and tears from sleepless nights, and crops that failed and dreams that died, and the rage from the wildfires I lit when they told me to be careful of the stores, but I didn't. And the guilt I felt from being a settler when the natives got pittance for labour. And I recall those men and women cursing and singing under the pitiless sun. I hated that. In the evening, my parents took chairs and watched the natives leave and say, "Night, boss." And they nodded to the passing labourers until they were sitting by the porch on the night still buzzing, and what accompanied the void by the music of the crickets they smoked. And I remember their yellow fingers and the worn out souls staring through their eyes, looking out at the Cojepes and the vast cannabis lands, and they knew they were a hostage this to all the choices they had made. And I remember these things, and I swore I would never be a hostage, never be a slave to those eyes, eyes that watch you as you sleep, those cold eyes of stars, lost colonies, the lights that are no longer here when you look up at the heavens. I was a slave to no man, though I loved them all, weak or strong. And I remembered the first touch, the first kiss, the terrible fires burning, like stars here in this terrible, pitiful, pitiless land. The burning hills at dawn, the fires and the nightfall, and the eyes of mother that never left me. I wrote it all, for words were all I had, the stars that guided me to freedom. Thanks for having me.
That wonderful. Give it up again for all of you. Well done.